Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
All right, and let's see. Got everything. Microphone check. We're good. Bell should be here any minute. Big finale. This is a man. Oh gosh. Yeah. Hey, what? I feel like I'm forgetting something. It's the final episode. Oh no. Oh no. Oh.
What is happening right now?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot about this. Okay, so hi. Hello. Yes. Don't be alarmed. I'm you from the future.
You're from the future?
Yes. Well, technically you are from the past. Season 2, right?
Yeah.
Bella and I just got done recording the first podcast of season two.
And then I found this button and it opened up Singularity, and
you pushed the button. Yeah, I know. I was there. Here's the thing. You pushed it too hard. You're supposed to go to Earth 2 and meet your new friends, Derek and Steve. But see, you didn't read the instructions. And now you're here in the future and your whole vibe is out of sync.
Pretty sure I got the button around here somewhere.
I don't know.
So wait.
How far in the future am I? Yeah, so the less you know about the future, the better. But hey, you know, I just got done watching the series finale of The Flash.
What?
Oh my gosh,
I have so many questions.
I know, right? But literally can't tell you anything without causing a massive rift in the timeline.
Just tell me one thing about the final season.
Blue roses.
What?
Okay.
Like how many?
A lot more than you might think.
Huh.
All right.
Ooh! Does Kango go full Killer Frost?
Is she the ultimate villain?
Did she team up with Captain Cold together?
Look, I'm going to stop you right there. Do yourself a favor. Just forget everything that you know about Caitlin and Killer Frost. And, you know, try to have fun with it.
Okay.
Well, I'm hoping there's at least a ton of evil speedsters.
I mean, the threat against Barry should be stacked to take him on in the finale.
Okay, I mean, sure, he'll have vibe by his side, but... Okay. You're actually breaking my heart right now. Here, I found the button. So I'm just going to send you right back to where you belong, you know, by way of Earth 2.
Wait.
What?
I mean Flash TV talk is over for you now, right?
What are you going to do now?
You know, after all this,
I'll figure something out. All right. Ready? Good luck.
Godspeed.
Please don't say that.
What?
Nothing. Bye. Wait, it's a switch. It's a switch, not a button. You know what? This timeline's all messed up anyway.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more. Actually, no more from the hit CW show. The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing okay. You know,
it was a long, long time ago. Before we get started, I need you to believe in miracles. Wait, no, that's not the... What's the line? Believe the impossible.
Yeah, believe the impossible. Come on. You've been doing this for nine years.
It's been a long time. By the way, love the call out to the pilot episode with that. I thought that was a really, really nice touch. We are here, of course, because it is the finale of The Flash, a series that we've been covering for quite some time. For those of you who have been listening since the beginning, thank you so very much for enjoying this podcast, for, you know, whether you've been enjoying the show or not, and just like really tuning into the podcast to keep up. You know, I know some people will drop off of a show, but they'll still listen to the podcast to hear, you know, what they're missing and that sort of thing. And so no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been listening and or watching, we just really want to kind of start off by saying thank you so very much for listening, supporting us throughout the years. And I wanted to get that kind of out of the way at the top.
Yeah, for sure. You know, much thanks is required here.
Now, it has been quite the journey from the pilot all the way here to the finale. And man, I'm excited. I really am excited to get into this final episode.
It's a mixed bag, which I feel like is appropriate given that especially the back half of the series has been such a mixed bag. There have been seasons with some of the lowest low points that share some of the highest high points. And I kind of feel like this episode kind of mirrors that in many respects. Bell, I'm ready to get into it. How about you?
Let's do it.
All right, man. For one last time, let's get into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 13 of Season 9, A New World, Part 4, directed by Vanessa Perez and story by Eric Wallace and Sam Shalson. Bell, what happened this episode?
Now a speedster known as Cobalt Blue, Eddie resurrects Eobard Thawn, Hunter Zolomon / Zoom, Savitar, and August Hart / Godspeed, and gathers them in the Negative Speed Force. In 2023, they fight Team Flash and Nora. Cecile adopts her future costume and codename Virtue, Allegra saves Chester from Eobard, and Jay Garrick steals Eddie's speed. Eddie retreats into the Negative Speed Force to gain more speed. Not wanting Eddie to die, Barry follows him in and convinces him not to become like Eobard, and that they can create a better world by coexisting. Eddie destroys the crystal and says he is happy for Iris, and Barry returns to her at the hospital. Mark reveals that Chester is a metahuman with black hole powers. The next morning, Nora is born, and Harrison Wells tells Keone to ascend as the Natural Order's protector. She bids farewell to Team Flash and returns her body to Caitlin. At a celebration 1 week later, Barry apologizes to Caitlin for how they left things, and Joe and Cecile get engaged. Barry unleashes a lightning bolt and chooses Avery Ho, Max Mercury, and Jess Chambers to become new speedsters.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh man, we got. Hey, look, you know, let's just start off with this. We got Max Mercury in this finale after all. How about that?
Yeah, you know, it's like for 3 seconds, and he had one line.
I'm not as familiar with Avery and Jess, but I do. You know, I'm assuming these are also speedsters from the comics, and so it's kind of nice to see that, you know, full Flash extended family, if you will, represented in some form or fashion here. Yes, it'd be nice to also have Kid Flash. Yes, it'd be nice to have Bart. We get a mention of Bart, which is, you know, at least, you know, there's that. I did like that joke with Nora being like, oh, you think this was bad? Wait till Bart gets here. That's pretty good. Pretty good. But Belle, you know, we got a lot in this episode. I'd kind of like to, there's two ways I want to kind of attack this episode, so to speak. Not attack. There's two ways I'd like to talk about this episode. One is kind of a breakdown of the speedsters and the team-ups and the fights and whatnot. But then the other is really kind of doing it more of like kind of a pros and cons. Because I don't know about you, buddy, but for me, this was a mixed bag.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like there's a bunch of cool stuff and there's a bunch of stuff where I'm like, okay. That's how we're going. You know, so
Yeah. So like, great concepts, right? Like, all right, Eddie coming back, the whole concept that they've kind of played around with this kind of final graphic novel of Eddie coming back, being the avatar for the Negative Speed Force. If you're gonna have the whole Negative Speed Force thing, it's an interesting way to use that to, you know, sufficiently bring Eddie back. That's kind of cool. The Cobalt Blueness of it, I mean, I think that's where a lot of fans really wanted to see Eddie return in this capacity, which is awesome. Cobalt Blue essentially being a speedster that's connected with the Negative Speed Force. Again, you know, a little bit of an odd choice, but if it gets us to the situation where Eddie becomes Cobalt Blue, to some extent, that's fine. The big thing, I think, that is a big, like, major win in this is getting all of these villains, especially and more specifically the speedster villains, back in this ultimate, like, evil team up against Barry Allen.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. It was like crazy to see them all together in like one final thing. You know, that was pretty neat. Like, you know, of course we got resurrection magic from the Negative Speed Force, but just to see all of the speedster enemies all in one spot. And like, cause you know, it's kind of like, it reminded me of kind of like a fighting game or like some video games, right? Where like, you know, you beat a boss and then you beat another boss and you beat another boss. And then like, the game on one of the higher levels when you're all powered up and whatnot will bring all of those bosses and you'll have to fight them all again at the same time. You know, and that was pretty, like, it just goes to show how much Barry's powered up and like, you know, with his team and everything. Granted, he didn't fight them all by himself. He had his team with him, but like, still it was really neat to see all those, you know, all those baddies back in the same spot.
Well, and those personalities playing off each other, I thought was done really well. I liked kind of the, you know, the bravado that was being kind of like thrown in each other's faces. I loved Godspeed talking about how he was the god of speed. And then at that moment, Savitar appears, who's kind of, you know, who's like, kind of a tagline is Savitar, the god of speed. So like, you know, the way in which they had fun with that worked really well. The connection between Zolomon and Eobard, like just like trolling Zolomon for like calling him out, be like, you're completely derivative. You're dude. Not only are you just another version of me, you literally did my exact same plan of pretending to be his friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's like making fun of him using Velocity 9 and all that stuff. It was crazy.
Called him a junkie. I thought that was fantastic. This was such a cool concept, and I think it's one of those things when I look at the in the good category of what this episode was and had in it, this is definitely one of the best things about this final episode, is getting all of these villains back into play. Now, I would have liked more time with them, though. I really would have liked more time with them playing off of each other. And I think that some of these villains in their fight scenes had the opportunity to do some cool things, and some of them were completely wasted. And this also kind of gets into the mixed bag of it as a whole. Belle, you mentioned that it's not just these guys teaming up against Barry, because he's got his entire team with him. And boy, oh boy, has his entire team had a massive level up over the years.
Yes. For a minute there, I was thinking that this was Cecile from the future, because she's like a god now, basically.
right.
But it wasn't. It was just her, and she just like, you know, immediately was like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm super powerful now, and I have all my powers unlocked, and I can fly, which that was unexpected. But I guess she's telekinetic. You know, she can move objects with her mind. What's to say she can't move herself with her mind? So...
Well, I do know the fans of the multiversal podcast, Cecile TV Talk, have been clamoring for her to get more powers. And so I do think that her getting flight was, I mean, honestly, man, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, those viewers and listeners are definitely very happy about what they saw in this episode.
Yes, indeed. Okay, but let's talk about this. The split up of these fight sequences. You had Nora versus Savitar, Godspeed versus Virtue, or Cecile, Eobard versus Chester and Allegra, Zoom versus Sing, Keown, and Chilblain. And then, of course, Cobalt Blue versus Barry, but not actually Barry because it's Jay. So first one, okay. First one, not a big fan of this, man. Nora versus Savitar. No, you know what? Let me restate that. Nora versus Savitar is a fantastic concept. You know what I mean? This is Nora going after a evil version of her father that killed her mother. And or at least tried to kill her mother.
Yeah, they didn't even touch on that remotely at all.
Not in the slightest. It was completely wasted. Like, he does the whole same kind of like killing move and everything else, and she's just sitting there, and then she stabs her father in the back and just says, shway, and then moseys off for the rest of the episode until she's holding a baby version of herself. Like, that felt so completely wasted. And of all of these team-ups... you know, that we're not Barry, of all the non-Barry team-ups, that was the one that had the most interesting, like, stuff, story-wise, to play with, and they just didn't do anything.
I mean, you know, I guess you could say that, you know, it's because Nora never experienced that. That was, you know, from a timeline that she never experienced.
Fine, but Savitar clearly knows that Nora is his daughter, even though, at that point, okay, right. So we know that Savitar is an evil version of Barry that has existed outside of time and outside of the multiverse, and kind of has this knowledge of the future, has this knowledge of the past, has the knowledge from across the multiverse. So Savitar knows that this is a version of his daughter that he would have never gotten the experience to have met, have raised, and everything else. And because he's so tied to the killing of Iris, like, there's just Savitar, the way they did Savitar is actually a fairly rich character to go back and visit in multiple different angles and storylines. And this right here, this too, like, you say that she doesn't really have that personal experience with him. Sure. But it's still who he is. It's still Barry.
Yeah. Like, they could have introduced that, and he could have, like, you know, through some weird negative speed force power, given her a vision of, like, you know, what happened, to try to, like, you know, shake her up and whatnot, and, you know, have it be, you know, a way more emotional kind of thing where, you know, she overcomes him and defeats him. And instead of saying shway, she's like, you know, I don't know, says some other weird future term. And
tries to save him, like her mom did, like try to actually save him and connect with him. and like have this be an emotional like battle of all of these. This was probably the one that could have and should have been the most emotional of these fights, even more so than Eddie versus Barry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how crazy would that have been as like the only, you know, the other ones they defeated through battle. What if she defeated Savitar through, you know, the power of friendship?
Right. Right. Yeah. But she got the Care Bear stare. She got the Care Nora stare. It would have been great.
Well, Barry had the Care Nora stare. You know, he was able to use that against Cobalt Blue, which is
That's coming.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. But that's been a theme in The Flash recently. Is it like, you know, using the power of communication and empathy and things like that to see eye to eye with your enemies and to turn them from their evil ways. And like, there's an opportunity there between Nora and Savitar to do that. And unfortunately we didn't get it.
No, I mean, I feel like that would have been the most appropriate place to apply that. And yeah, I completely wasted. So unfortunate. Then we got Godspeed versus Virtue. I do like this pairing because Godspeed is probably like the least interesting of these villains coming back. And so giving him to Virtue to fight, as Virtue is kind of he's the newest of the villains and she's the newest of the heroes. And so it kind of works out okay with, you know, them kind of going up against each other. And given the fact that he can clone himself and that Virtue can basically do anything, you know, probably appropriate in terms of power levels, yes?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's just weird about that is it's just, you know, I think of Speedster and I think of Barry and I think of, like, you know, Godspeed specifically because he was a newer villain of being, like, extremely fast. And it's like, I just don't know how that didn't end in, like, a split second. But, you know, mind powers.
Mind over matter, Bell. That's what I call mind over matter.
Yeah, you're right. That was definitely mind over matter.
Just remember, this was written before the writer's strike. All right.
That's mean.
Too soon. All right, Eobard versus Chester and Allegra. Now, this one is you know, it's kind of one of those situations where initially I was mildly perturbed because I'm like, no. Eobard's not going to go for Chester and Allegra. Eobard's going to go straight for Barry. Why would he come here? But then as I was watching it go down, I was like, oh, wait, now this is actually kind of interesting because Chester is kind of the spiritual successor of Vibe. And this is basically the place where Eobard killed Vibe. And then on top of that, you do have the established relationship with another Harrison Wells and Allegra. And so it's like, oh, no, there's actually some very interesting character moments to mine. And they did a little bit of that. I think they could have gone further, especially in kind of, you know, the with Eobard saying something to the effect of wanting to do to Vibe what he did to Vibe. But at the same time, I did like the fact that they didn't forget about the fact that there was this strong connection between a former Wells and Allegra.
Yeah, that was the one moment where I thought, surely, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but I was like, this is where Cisco's going to show up. Like, he's going to show up and he's going to save Chester, and then Allegra and Cisco are going to defeat Eobard in like a poetic justice kind of moment for Cisco to, like, you know, get that, you know, hey.
Oh, that would have been so good, Bell. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that would have been awesome. Like, so both of them, like, you know, Eobard's back in, you know, Harry's body. And so that's messing with Allegra. So Allegra's like, you know, I'm mad at you for that, and I'm going to defeat you for that. And then Cisco's like, you know, you killed me once, but, you know, you're not going to kill Chester and or whatever. And then he, you know, they team up and they beat Eobard. And, like, that would have been, like, really cool for both of their characters. I mean, Chester doesn't really have a dog in the fight right there, but, you know, that's why I think that would have been just a great opportunity for Cisco to show up just out of the blue for, like, you know, one line for, you know, a half a day of shooting at most. Come on.
Yeah. Well, or, you know, and I mean, if they can't, I mean, obviously they couldn't get him. So, I mean, like, with that in mind, you know, have Chester bust out the Cisco tech. I mean, I realize that's kind of against his whole kind of pacifist mindset, but they mentioned that and then they never really mentioned it again. So, I mean, like, maybe they could forget that part, have him rock, you know, and then just, like, you know, zap him and be like, Cisco tech.
Or, yeah, like, well, I mean, I'm sure Cisco has developed some defensive capabilities and stuff, but, like, have him be like, you know, Cisco left me this just in case Barry went rogue, and this is a means to, like, you know, incapacitate a speedster or some kind of, like, armor he can put on to protect him from a speedster, something like that. So he's not violating his, you know, core character concepts, and he, you know, he can still kind of, like, pay homage to Cisco.
Okay, hear me out. like, one of the things I really liked about what they did with Eobard with this is, while all the other characters just kind of ran somewhere and just immediately started fighting, like, Eobard made a beeline for Star Labs, and he's not fighting anybody. He's just chilling. He's just chilling and mocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not he's going in there and him and Allegra are, like, going toe-to-toe. Like, he's clearly there to manipulate and to kind of be this guy. And yet, they never really gave him strong enough motivations for actually going there. It would have been interesting if he came here specifically for, you know, maybe for Gideon, or for some sort of tech that would allow him to get the upper hand on Eddie to be able, or to steal the speed from all of these other speedsters and have access to all of this. And then Allegra steps in, they go toe-to-toe, and then maybe Chester comes in and boom, like maybe he's standing over Allegra about to do the Cisco, you know, bzzz, right into the chest type situation. And then Chester comes in, if we can't get Cisco, and then blasts him with like some Cisco gauntlets wearing the vibe mask and everything. Yeah. And says something to the effect of Cisco sends his regards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the pacifist thing that would kind of, you know, throw that out the window. But
it's nonviolent. It's just a push.
he just pushed him violently.
He just pushed him. Yeah. Not and then Allegra can get the big, you know, the kill shot, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, like yeah, just, you know, some maybe it was like, you know, he, yeah, I like the idea, the concept of him going there looking for some kind of way to, like, you know, scheme his way out of this debt almost to Cobalt Blue. And, you know, trying to find, yeah, like Gideon, or maybe he's trying to find like the, you know, the tachyon thing or something like that. And, yeah. And, you know, I just some kind of homage to Cisco would have been nice there.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know, Eobard mentioning that he killed him once.
Yeah, exactly. Zoom versus Sing / Keown / Chilblain. So, okay.
You mean the literal god Keown, who just is now a god, who we spent like five episodes with, and she's the most powerful being on like the literal planet.
What, Bell? Who? Why? Why, Bell? I mean, there's a lot of whys in a lot of these characters. Like, what? Like, this became like the Virtue Keown show here at the tail end. Like, what the heck? But okay, regardless, we've got Keown teaming up with Chilblain, who, by the way, is just there. He's just like, here's my, you know, just in case you wanted to know, my abs are here, okay? I'm not, I'm literally not going to do anything in this fight, but stand here and just like, the abs, do you see the abs, Zoom? You, like, see them?
Yeah, does nothing at all. Neither does Sing, but at least he was there, you know, I mean, so that's something.
Yeah, no, it was great to see Sing back. That was nice. Zoom and Keown, though, okay, right? So, like, Keown obviously has no relationship with Zoom, but Zoom has a relationship with Caitlin.
Yes, very much so.
And Zoom doesn't know that Keown's not Caitlin.
I mean, I would assume no.
So there's interesting character moments that could have potentially happened. I know it's less as interesting as the other ones I've already mentioned because of the tragedy that it was and has been Caitlin's character over this series. But, like, I don't know. It just seems like they could have leaned into that a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was another one of those where it's like, there's actual history between at least, you know, who Keown used to be, and Hunter Zolomon, but like, yeah. And I don't know. My biggest problem with that wasn't necessarily that they didn't explore that at all. Like, even with just a line or something like that.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, Keown's like, oh, by the way, I can absorb negative speed force energy and throw it right back at you. Because guess what? I am a literal god.
I put down in my notes, she Yodas him.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, yeah, pulled a Yoda, absorbed Emperor Palpatine's lightning, and threw it back at him. And I was like, all right, she's a Jedi / god now. This is cool.
Yeah, well, and she's not the only one. Because as we see, when Cobalt Blue and Barry are fighting off at Jitters, Jay Garrick shows up. Jay's able to absorb his speed.
Yeah. Like, who did he say? Like, he said he learned some stuff while he was away. But, like, who did he learn that from?
His Earth 90 counterpart. He's talking about the original 90s Flash.
Oh, that's right.
So it's kind of an homage, or at least a nod, to the Flash that died in Crisis.
Yeah.
With this. But, yeah, no, it's you know. So he shows up, and Jay ends up saving Barry. Here's the thing. That whole sequence. We've got throughout all of Barry's teammates, like, over half of them are way more powerful than Barry is. Like, any, like, three of these people, based on what we've seen, could technically take care of this whole situation lickety-split, not a problem.
Yeah, like, Kyon could just, like, snap her fingers and make them all disintegrate.
She's the obvious, right? Like, Kyon, you're exactly right. She's somehow a literal god. I don't even think she lifted a finger. I think it was just, she did it, and then it was, he was gone, and then it was a situation that was over. She could have just done that when they were all staring at each other down at the bridge. Same thing with Virtue. Virtue just kind of, you know, eyeballed him into his head.
Yeah, she could have whammied all of them right then and there.
Right then and there. She's like an unlimited font of power. So from that standpoint, Virtue and Kyon really could have knocked this out, which really does beg the question, Bell. And I mean this, in-universe, why is this Team Flash? Why isn't it Team Virtue or Team Kyon? Like, why is this, like literally, this entire massive fight sequence, and the Flash didn't really do anything. He ran and he kind of tossed a little bit of lightning, but even in the fight, in the first fight with Eddie, Jay is the one that comes up and saves him. Great to see Jay, by the way. That's always good. Yeah. But, like, that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, it's Kyon. Kyon's a you know, she's a literal god, and so it's not her responsibility to, like, deal with that, I guess, because she has to protect the natural order. I don't know. But, like, Cecile's the one that kind of gets me. Is Cecile seems way more powerful than any of them. And, like, I don't know why it's Barry in the Watchtower and in, you know, the Justice League and stuff. Why not Cecile? She's, like, seems to be one of the most powerful. You know, once Kyon goes into God mode and goes into space or whatever, Cecile is like an Omega class mutant.
You know? Exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying it would behoove the good folks, the good police officers of Central City, like, as soon as this whole fight sequence is over and they've seen what she can do, like, it's time to give the Flash a break. Y'all don't, he's no longer the hero of Central City. Y'all need to go up to the top of CCPD, install a Virtue signal, and then, you know, whenever you have a problem, turn on the Virtue signal and Virtue will be there.
Turn on the Virtue signal.
All right. I mean, because a bat signal, Bell, because, you know, it's a bat signal.
What are they? What do you mean?
But it would be a Virtue signal. That's what it would be. Bell, isn't that what it would be, Bell? Isn't that what it would be?
Yeah, but when they turn it on, are they going to say stuff where it's like, you know, I helped a bunch of homeless people this weekend. It's like, what did you do? And, you know, like, they just Instagram.
I will summon the power of Twitter. So, yeah, and I mean, even at the end, again, look, we here at Flash TV Talk are fans of Cecile and have been for the longest time. Fantastic actress. And really, especially as kind of Joe took a back seat, having kind of that paternal, like, parental type of role, mentor, especially on an emotional sense, Cecile was great in the early days. And, like, it's really once they gave her superpowers, it was kind of like, huh, we're missing that human element that Joe represented. Like, we need, like, Cecile as a human was actually a really great thing. Then they continued to give her powers. At one point, we were down with the concept of Cecile being a psycho pirate.
Yeah. And another thing too, like, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, women on Team Flash, right? And, you know, Joe is great for Barry being that kind of father figure, but, like, you know, sometimes the other women characters, they need, you know, more of like a motherly sort of presence there. And she provides.
That's right.
That
you got the paternal figure through Joe and the maternal figure through Cecile, and it's a good. Yeah, like, it's the Flash family. It kind of rounds out and completes the Flash family.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, Bell, I didn't know they weren't married. I'm just gonna be straight up with you. He proposed, I was
thing.
Like, wait, what?
Same thing. I thought they were married long time ago. Had
I thought they've
no
been married,
idea.
Man.
Yeah.
That shocked me. That shocked everything we know about Joe, man. I think like the second, first of all, I thought they were married before they got pregnant. Second of all, I think the second they got pregnant, Joe would have been like, no, we're making this legal right now.
Yeah. Like, that was the most shocking thing about the whole finale.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, the fact that Wally and, you know, Bart never showed up, but whatever.
Yeah, and Vibe.
And Vibe, but yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was the big moment at the end. It was like, yeah, Barry throws the lightning. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, for the most part, like, the big kind of emotional like, the emotional climax of this episode was Cecile getting engaged. Yeah. And it's kind of like, what happened here? Like, what? There's some point, Belle, that there is going to be some sort of tell-all something or another. And it's probably not going to be tomorrow, and it's probably not going to be the next day. But at some point, something's going to come out, an expose or whatever. And you and I, we have done very well to not dive into the, like, gossipy stuff as it relates to the show. But clearly, something has happened behind the scenes over the years that has broken this show from what it's supposed to be. And it's made it into what it is, which is fine. It's just not, you know, it just shouldn't be called The Flash.
Yeah, it like, you know, I mean, you have these expanding cast of characters, and like, I get how that happens, but yeah, you know, you would expect a Flash show to be about Barry and Iris because they are the Flash, right? Like, and
oh yeah, actually, you know what? I thought that Joe was gonna say "We Are Virtue." I thought that was gonna be. What he was gonna say. No, there was literally a moment when he said "we." I was like, oh, is he gonna say the thing? Joe, please say the thing.
Oh, that would be hilarious. and she's like, "You're my virtue signal."
I'm just saying, if they put one up, that's what it would be called.
I know, it's hilarious. Oh man, but yeah, you know, I'm really very curious about, like, you know, what sort of happened behind the scenes and a lot of different things, and like, on the one hand, I'm like, if it was a situation where people were made to be uncomfortable, or, you know, work in situations that weren't that you know, made them uncomfortable, made them, you know, not want to be there and stuff like that, and cause tension and stuff on the set, like, that's really disappointing, and I hope it wasn't anything like that. But on the other hand, I'm like, I really want to know.
It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I hear that, but I do feel like even if that's the case, you can write better storylines around that situation than what we got, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Was it something like there was a falling out between Candace and
Grant.
Yeah, I wanted to call him Barry because to me he's Barry Allen, but yeah, like, was there falling out between them and other cast members, or like, you know, what was going on there?
I don't know. You look at the chemistry between the two in the early seasons versus the later seasons, and there's something very different.
Yeah,
so I don't know what happened, but it does seem like something did. Candace wrote a very nice post, I think it was on Instagram, kind of just processing the last 9 years of working on the show. It was really, really solid. You know, she even makes reference of the "We Are the Flash" thing, and she puts in parentheses, she's like, "Listen, I didn't write it and I didn't want to say it at the time," but she does say in context now, it's really appropriate given that, you know, the Flash is the series and the people that have come together to make it happen. And so, you know, it's we're seeing people part ways, it appears, on good terms. I just have a feeling at some point there's going to be more information that's going to come out that's going to explain what happened, because something happened. Something went down. I don't know what, and we don't know why, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the season finale of The Flash became the Virtue and Keown show, I have no idea, but that is definitely what happened. Barry does, at the end, of course, as he made mention, he throws out the lightning, and he has selected kind of the new Flashes out there, the new speedsters. I thought this was nice. Yes, Barry doesn't become the lightning. It doesn't kind of, you know, die in crisis and become the lightning, nor do we necessarily see like the 90s Flash become the lightning that strikes Barry. In my headcanon, though, that's what happened. In my headcanon, when 90s era Flash sacrificed himself in crisis, what was left of him went back in time and became the lightning that strikes Barry. And now we see Barry doing that here in the season finale for a new generation of speedsters. That being said, Max looks a little old, but you know.
Yeah, I think Max Mercury is a lot younger than that. If memory serves correct, I don't think.
I mean, like... Max is an older guy. Max is an older guy. I'm just saying that if you're choosing the next speedsters, you know, you might choose, like, he's got like two spring chickens and you know, a little bit more of a seasoned veteran, let's say. So, in the good category, I've got some more good stuff here. I loved the little Jay Garrick helmet. I thought that was very adorable.
Oh yeah, yeah, the little baby sized mm-hmm. Jay Garrick helmet was great. Yeah,
that was so cute. Timeless Wells, didn't love the fact why he came back, but it was nice to have kind of a closed loop on the Timeless Wells storyline, which they never really fully closed.
you know, he's there in the same way where he's saying, like, you know, Keone's got to protect the natural order. He's there protecting the timeline, although he didn't really do anything to help Barry out in defeating all of these, you know, people who are trying to destroy the timeline. But that's probably because he knew, like, because he, you know, he's sort of free from time. He saw that Barry was going to win, so he didn't bother intervening.
Exactly.
But
spoilers.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything to Keone, or he didn't say anything to anybody but Keone. You know, he didn't go and say hi to Barry and, you know, thumbs up, bud, you're doing a great job.
you know. Well, but he was at the party at the end, and I thought it was odd because he was sitting there literally just like chilling and talking with Captain Singh. And I was like,
wait, was he really?
Captain Singh associated him with like the original Harrison Wells?
Wait, was he really there? I didn't see him.
Yeah, he was there at the party.
Oh, wow.
They were all there. In fact, I was thinking about, man, that is a crowded party. And yep, that's the cast.
Well, you know, minus some other faces that we would have liked to seen.
Well, that's true. That is true. Papa Joe, now Grandpapa Joe, singing. Love that. That's a plus.
Yeah, always love it when Jesse L. Martin gets to sing. He is a very talented singer. Granted, hey, you know, Grant and Cisco and like all of them, they had some pretty cool, you know, good pipes on them and stuff. So it was really nice to see them be able to showcase those talents throughout the series. But to have Papa Joe sing on the last episode, that was nice. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but did he have a singing piece in the musical episode?
Oh yeah, absolutely he did.
Yeah,
you kidding me?
He would have had to have. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he and your boy from Legends, Firestorm. No,
you're talking about Vampire Jesus. Yeah, people who listen to Legends TV Talk will know exactly.
Right.
Victor Garber, who is a vampire and who also may or may not be Jesus.
Yeah, no, he they sang a duet.
Yeah, that was a deep cut to Legends TV Talk there.
There you go. Well, you know what? There should be a deep cut to Legends TV Talk here. okay. What else? I did love Nora holding Nora. I thought that was trippy.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we didn't have a time cop situation where they both melt into like purple goo. so that was really, really good to not have that happen.
Yeah. But it was that was really fun. And I liked the fact that they didn't shy away from the weirdness of that. That's great. It's
yeah.
Really,
you know, I mean, like, heck, if I had an opportunity to hold myself as a baby, I'd probably drop myself.
I know purpose. Belle. No, you don't drop. Or maybe you do in the future. And that explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, time's a flat circle.
Okay, I liked the flashbacks that we got on the Barry Iris relationship, especially as we mentioned before, since the chemistry's been off over the last couple of years, seeing so many flashbacks to the previous seasons of the show, especially the early seasons, really kind of helps frame up this moment of them becoming parents in such a beautiful way. And I thought that was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, those are nice little throwbacks. Really leaning into the emotional, you know, end of the show. With, you know, Barry running with a smile, that was nice.
I was like, that is a man who is free of this franchise. He is so ready to move on to the next thing.
Oh my gosh, you know it. You know he is.
You know, you got to give it to Eddie. Rick Cosnett, he really just gave it his all. He came back and came swinging for the fences. Had some weird stuff to deal with in terms of the lines that he was given and the storylines, but that man committed.
He did. He did a great job. Like, you know, he seemed like fully involved. You know, he was like, yeah, this, you know, because that's the thing. You know, when you're given, you know, maybe not the best script or the best lines, the way you perform them can really make the difference. Mm. And, you know, I think he did a great job as Cobalt Blue. Like, I think he really sold it, and he did really, really good. So, and it was really nice to see him back, too, because he was really good in season one, and it was nice to see him again.
And then just a quick PSA, if I may. If you've got small children, infants, you know, and they're kind of in that crib stage, don't put giant stuffed animals in the crib with them. That's a terrible, extremely unsafe idea. Just don't do it. They had a big giant. You know, my kids are not nearly as young as they used to be, but like I still had like the you know, kind of like I was just triggered instantly when I saw that giant bunny in the crib. Like, that thing could fall over and then she's going to stop breathing. But that can't be in there.
Well, we already know that doesn't happen. So all of a sudden, Nora like starts disappearing. Like, what the hell? And they look in the crib and the bunny's falling over and they're like, oh no.
Like, move the bunny. Oh man. Yeah, I think that's all the notes I got. But what about you, man? What else you got?
Oh man, you know, yeah, it was hit or miss, but like at the end of it, you know, I think it was a nice send off. Really excited for next season when we get to explore Avery Ho, Max Mercury, and Jess Chambers. See
Bell.
Oh, wait, what?
We're not. This is it. This was the finale. It's over.
Wait, what? You mean they set up all those characters for no payoff whatsoever? No.
No, man. What are you talking about? Speedsters. That's hilarious.
That's going to be the
focusing
show.
A season on speedsters. What are you? That's crazy.
It's going to be. That's the next CW show. It's called DC Speedsters, and it's going to be those three and their shenanigans and antics.
Yeah, I mean, well, but then you know, Keown's spirit will let like find a new host in Virtue, and then she'll come and lead these new speedsters into into the future.
Yeah, no, but I do have a note around that though. Caitlin Snow also in this episode.
Whoa, she's back. Look at her. How about that?
Yeah. Oh man, that was, you know, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, they literally also in this episode in her. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Last episode, gonna bring her back. Not Frost, because Frost is dead for real.
Yeah.
And she's all like, yeah, you're right, Barry. I was trying to do something that was unnatural because Keown's all about nature and stuff. And like, Keown can bring people from the dead people back to life because she killed Mark and then she brought him back to life. Just take her to the damn cemetery, exhume the corpse, and bring her back to life. And then we can have Frost back. Why not?
I mean, yeah, no,
Keown, I think is a freaking god. She can do anything. She's like Dr. Manhattan level power. And it's, yeah, why not bring back Barry's parents?
I got, because that would break the Nora, by the way, Speed Force Nora was at the party. I don't know if you saw that as
well. No, that wasn't Speed Force Nora. That was Earth 2, Jake.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. That woman has played so many different characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was not Speed Force Nora. That was Earth 2, wife of Jay Garrick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mrs. Garrick. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Okay. So, you know what, Belle, you and I, we've had so many fun adventures over the course of this podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to share a few of our favorite memories from what has been Flash TV Talk. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and
yellow. Hold on. Buddy, it's been a long road. It's been almost a decade of it has been a decade of podcasting together.
Yeah, because we had season zero.
We had season zero. We also, you know, did Panel to Screen back in the day. This has been a journey.
It has, and quite a long and fruitful one as well.
For us, like, one of the things I've really enjoyed is, you know, as we sit here in our late 30s, you know, like,
about as
you know,
late in 30 as you can get.
Exactly. One of the things that, you know, it's kind of the joke. Well, we turned 30, so what are we going to do? We're going to start a podcast, because that's how you maintain friendships these days.
Yeah, yeah. But,
it is. I mean, there's something to be said for that. It's good. It is, you know, especially your adult years, to have, you know, kind of the excuse to get together, to hang out, talk about shared interests. And even over the course of, as the show has kind of ebbed and flowed in quality, man, I was thinking back, we've had some great memories. Grandma Esther's eggnog induced Christmas call and extravaganza kind of stands out to me as being kind of a fun tradition for you and me And it kind of became a tradition even for my family where they'd make cookies and eggnog. And, you know, we'd get on here, we'd podcast, we'd open up the phone lines, and it was good times.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun. I drank like a fifth of eggnog. No, it was a liter of eggnog. And yeah, just getting ripped, talking the Flash, talking with the fans. It's so much fun. Eating cookies, just a blast. And yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun just to get to hang out with you every week, you know, and just talk stuff that we enjoy. And like, that's kind of the beauty part of it to me, was that no matter where the Flash went, as far as quality wise, like up and down, left and right, you know, we would have these fun, entertaining conversations that in some, like there's plenty of episodes where I remember, you know, our conversation about it was a lot more enjoyable than the episode we were reviewing. And, you know,
right.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun, right? Is, you know, when you have somebody to kind of commiserate when they're bad and like share your enjoyment when they're good. And so that's what was one of the, you know, my favorite aspects about it. And also the share
share TV talk. Share, all right, TV, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you. What do you think, like, if like going back, share TV talk or turtle TV talk?
Oh, that's rough.
If you had to choose.
I don't know. And you bring up a very valid point. Guess who wasn't present during this last season?
McSturtle! Oh, Bell! What the?
He was not there. I did not.
She was not there. Bell, this there. What?
Sorry. Yeah, not there.
Don't you misgender McSturtle, man?
My apologies.
She. What? Who? Like, all right. I think. Did we not confirm that she didn't survive the crisis?
Maybe, or maybe McSnurtle. I mean, I don't know though, because we'd have to ask Oliver, because Oliver's over there like making new universes. Maybe Oliver made an entire universe for McSnurtle.
Oh, you know, maybe McSnurtle's hanging out on Purgatory and Barry's like, is just waiting for Barry.
Yeah.
You know,
there's going to be, you know, instead of like the arrow, it's the tortoise or something. And it's McSnurtle as Oliver McSnurtle.
Oh man, you know what? For old time's sake, I'm gonna find the share TV talk and the turtle TV talk, and I'm tacking those at the end of this episode.
Yes, yes,
that needs to happen. Yes. I think for me, share TV talk was definitely some premium podcasting moments, especially since it was live.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's the thing. There was a time when we did all these episodes live.
Yeah, yeah, we did a lot of them live. We did them on Facebook and YouTube, and that was always fun, like getting to interact with the fans live. Like that was super cool. Answer questions. Blast.
The Brogues,
like,
man. We did the Brogues.
The Brogues was a lot of fun. I have the framed piece of fan art that was made for
Russ Hicks. Yeah.
Russ Hicks did a fantastic piece of art that's better than the characters that I drew. And I love it so much. I love it so much. Like, you should see this compared to the strip. And he did a fantastic job on that. It's just, yeah, I got it hanging up in my media room. Yeah, the Brogues was great. A lot of fun with that one.
Ring that Grodd.
We actually got Grodd. Yeah, hitting a bell like that. If that wasn't a nod to me, I don't know what was.
No, I wouldn't even refer to that. I was referring to you actually hitting the town of Austin in a giant gorilla suit.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That one's a hazy night. But
yeah, do you remember that night at all, Bell?
I have photos of it, and so I remember the photos.
Oh man, yeah.
I actually managed to get one hug. It was, most people were looking at me like I was some kind of like weirdo, which I am, but I mean, you know, I'm not that weird. Just kind of gorilla suit giving free hugs. Yeah, Ring That Grodd was great. Let's see here.
That was special.
That was very special. We
got featured on the CW Seed, or at least a commercial for the CW Seed.
That's
kind of fun.
That's true. We did their fan podcast thing, which was interesting.
Oh, we got drunk with Weather Wizard.
We did. Well, you got.
I had a designate. You're talking about a hazy night.
Yeah, I had a designate drive, and so it was me and the Red Ranger. I forget who was the. She was the only.
I thought it was the Pink Ranger that you were chilling with.
No, it was the first woman Red Ranger. I thought.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because she didn't really, you know, party all that much, but she was there with the other Rangers, and so we.
No, she was the Pink Ranger. I don't think there. Hang on. Was there a red female Ranger. I don't think there was one. Wait, nope. Hunter Dino, who plays Amelia Jones as the Pink Ranger, Power Rangers Cosmic Fury, has just announced that she will be the first. So yeah, so there will be a first ever Red Ranger, but there has not been just yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, she was the Pink Ranger, I want to say, in like Emergency Rescue or some. It was long after my Power Rangers time, but yeah.
Yeah, but it
was. She was chilling. Like, y'all were the sober ones, and the rest of us were several sheets to the wind. Yeah. With weather wizard.
Yeah.
Gas. I was just gassing up the party.
Yeah, driving you all around freaking 6th Street. And, you know, I'm just sitting there talking with her, going, it's fun, right? And she's like, yep.
Yep.
But yeah, that was fun. And speaking of Weather Wizard, you know, we got several interviews with cast members.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got John Wesley Shipp to admit that he could kick Darth Vader's butt.
that's I forgot about that.
Yeah, we had Patrick Sabongi on the show. He was great to talk to. We had John Wesley Shipp, I'm trying to think who else aside from Weather Wizard.
We got a chance to talk to some different industry folks as well. We did have Gorilla Grodd mentioned on the
David Sobolov. We had him on the show as well.
Did a partnership briefly with DC Universe Online. That was fun.
That was cool. Yeah, we got to play some MMOs in the DC Universe. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. It's been it's good to take like pause and take stock, because I think that this like a post crisis. And which coincides with 2020, ironically.
Yeah, yeah.
But like post-crisis and 2020, like it's been an uphill slog, just to be honest. And I mean, I think probably the listeners have been able to feel that from, at least from my part, in terms of like trying to watch the show and like find things to be positive about, because I don't like just going on the internet and just griping about things. I like to try to look for what's good. And man, oh man, it's been tough these last couple of seasons, as the quality has dipped just so significantly, and the show has gotten away from what its original premise and what kind of attracted people to it in the first place. The reason, you know, it's labeled Coke, but then you drink it and it's, you know, hot tea. And not that hot tea is bad. I like hot tea, but I don't want hot tea when I'm going for a Coke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And so it's nice to kind of pause and look back and remember like all of these good times and these high highs and all the stuff that's happened. But Belle, I don't think I can do it anymore.
Well, you don't have to.
No, but what I mean is like I think this show has actually broken me over the last couple of years.
Oh yeah?
I think my mental state is so fractured that I can no longer go on as Bo.
Oh no.
Like I've been caught, Belle. I've been caught between these two me's. The me that is trying to pour in all the positivity and pull out all of the goodness that has been there here and there, but then it's had to fight and repress this negativity. And like it had seeped out so much here and there, especially in this last past season. And man, the negativity has just boiled to the point where I don't think I can control it anymore.
Oh no. Oh no, what's going on here?
I think I will no longer be known as Bo. From this point on, I will be known as Bovatar, and I will go back, Belle, into the past to torment our previous selves along the timeline somewhere around season 3 or 4. I can't remember exactly where. And then I will, you know, be evil and stuff.
Wait, so Bovatar, hold on. So you're telling me that you go back in time and you're the reason why the show goes downhill?
Yes, yes, it's the very thing. I have created the monster that makes me, and I must continue doing it, otherwise I will no longer exist, Ben.
So we're in a time loop here, it seems. We have a we have a causality loop, and
yes,
yeah, thank
that's
you.
Exactly what we have. Good job, Bell. It's a causality loop. I am Bovatar, and I must now go and run back in time, and I'll be right back afterwards. All right, I'm back.
Oh, cool.
I'm good. I got it all out of my system. I'm fine now.
Okay, great. Good to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, I think we closed a time loop somewhere around season 3. So. Yeah. There you go. All right. Flash TV Talk. Hey, listen, we'll continue to have little TV Talk minis here and there on the feed of various shows as we've kind of done over the last past 2 years here. So please continue to tune in for that. Bell, you of course find Bell at Ring That Bell on Twitter. Bell, where else? What else you got going on? Where you want the people to check you out?
I mean, that's just about it. That's all I'm really doing these days. Work has been really hectic, and so that's kind of all I'm doing. I don't know. Maybe one of these days I might throw up a stream or two on twitch.tv/ringthatbell. Maybe I don't remember. It's been so long. Let me see.
Well, it's interesting because I do think back like across like the show early on, like we were big onto Twitter, and since then I've completely gotten off of Twitter. But I am on Instagram, so if you want to follow me, it's incognitbo on Instagram. I spell my name BEAU, and that'll be in the show notes for this episode. So if you want to follow me with what's going on there, that'd be the place to do it. Also, the TV Talk YouTube channel. I believe this summer, you know, we're gonna been doing some Minecraft again, or at least I will be. Bell, maybe you, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully, if I can get some time to do it, I will do it.
Yeah, the Flash Crafters became the Bat Cat Crafters, are now going to become, I think, the Fan Crafters, but we're still kind of getting the name right. But anyway, good stuff heading over there, so you can follow the TV Talk YouTube channel as well for some fun video game goodness. Bell, I do think that is going to do it for us for this entire series, and I think for the first time, I'm going to have to say, we won't be back in a flash. Here's how we're you know how we're going to start this? The way we finished it. Mm. There's even a ship, like a tanker on it. If I could turn back time, it's appropriate and relevant. If I could find a way, I'd take back those words that'll hurt you. Mm. Bring it, Cher. Bring it. I don't know why I did the things. Oh, but maybe. Oh, change clothes. Don't do that. I can't even pay attention to the song anymore. Oh, 80s. Come on. Oh, man. I didn't want to see that dress, I'll be honest. Back time. If I could find a way, I'd take back those words that I've heard you. Get this up together.
sorry, the Green Arrow.
No, that's great. That's I needed that. I know, I needed that. That's good.
The gag here is that, you know, she says, if I could turn back time, which is relevant, and right. She's on a ship, which is also relevant.
That's right.
So.
And she is also doing her thing without a costume. Or, well, it's in a costume, but just without the rest of the costume.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. It's Cher.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's Cher.
I can't look away.
See, I'm glad I'm not watching it. I'm just listening to it. And I can still, like, see her straddling the battleship's main gun.
Yeah, she is doing that. And now she's
that
doing some kind of
like burned into my memory. Want a pineapple? We are talking about Cher's 19. Oh, you know what? I need to have this prepared beforehand.
It was if you could turn back time, Cher. I'm not sure what year it came out. It was definitely the 80s. I see no numbers in front of me, but I don't need to know this came out in the 80s.
Yes, this is from Cher's hit single, If I Could Turn Back Time, released June 1st, 1989, where she dances in what some would consider an outfit, what others might consider a piece of cloth and some fishnet things, and she is dancing on a battleship. Which, that was back in the 80s when we still had battleships.
I want to make an observation, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
This is
a work safe, family friendly.
I'm looking at some of these photos from that video, and
I'm watching the video. Also, dance as she does just kind of like she's just kind of there.
You know, Cher doesn't have to dance.
No, she's Cher.
Yeah, exactly.
We should go on record as stating that we love Cher. Like that. I mean, not like
fully support Cher.
We are Cher. We Cher fans
do
might
not
be too strong.
Fully support Cher's clothing choice in the seminal 1989 video for "If I Could Turn Back Time."
Well, it's one of those things, man. The 80s gave us a lot of music videos that it couldn't take back. even if it could, nope. if it could turn back time, man. Like, that's the thing. She was singing about if she could turn back time to not go and do this video, right?
Future Cher went back in time and released a song about not releasing that song.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Great. All right. Excuse me. Yeah. See, this thing, I could play the bumps, but after all the technical issues we've had, not going to. Just going to jump on into it. Sorry, guys.
You may destabilize the universe if you do anything else tonight.
I'm telling you, man. Everything. This is a mess. This is a mess. But for those, I think Green Arrow and Want a Pineapple, y'all are troopers. So thanks for being here.
Josh Paul, thank you too.
Josh, you as well. Y'all go ahead. Let them know on Twitter. Go ahead and say, hey, listening to Flash TV Talk Live, mixer.com/podastery. Let's bring a few others in if we can.
Yeah, tell them this is the most fun you've ever had listening to a podcast live.
Maybe the most fun you've ever had listening to Cher.
Yeah, that's probably, and again, we here at Flash TV Talk have the utmost respect for Cher.
We are,
and all that she has done,
100% not anti-Cher.
However, just go watch the video for Turn Back Time.
Or don't. We're not advocating to go watch. We want to make sure that it's clear. We are 100% not necessarily actively pro-Cher, but we are definitely not anti-Cher.
Yes.
But we are pro-Cher?
We're Cher neutral.
We're Cher neutral, but
we're
like
the Switzerland of Cher opinions.
Yeah, but like with a little extra like emphasis on the positive side of neutral.
Sure, we would trade with Cher during a time of war, but not with Cher's enemies.
Yeah, no, it depends on who her enemies were. What if her enemies were Beyonce?
Ooh,
that's the
thing.
Then
all the single ladies would be on her side.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be, yeah.
You can't do it.
In that case, that would be a hard, you know, we'd have to draft a resolution of neutrality in that particular instance.
I'm just saying that it's all day, all the time, every day, all day, every day, Cher all the way, unless Beyonce is an option.
Yes.
Or anyone else. What I'm saying is, Cher on her own is awesome. But if there is other options, I'm not saying I wouldn't take those other options. In terms of music or just general hangoutness or whatever.
Yeah. If someone was like, hey, do you want to come hang out with Cher? I'm not going to be like, no.
No, I would totally. Are you kidding me? I would totally hang out with Cher. Now, if they said like, hey, would you hang out? You got two options. Hang out with Cher or say, you know, Carrot Top.
I would hang out with Cher.
I, it, it,
tough call, though, right? Tough call.
You know, it is. It is. It is. That's a hard one.
That's really hard. It's a hard one to do.
Wait, hold on. Is this pre-roids Carrot Top or post-roids Carrot Top?
I'm not that much of a Carrot Top fan to know what's going on with Carrot Top.
Just Google a picture of Carrot Top, and like the guy has done more steroids than every professional wrestler combined.
Well, fair enough. I was trying to stay in the Vegas wheelhouse, but one way or the other, you've got Cher. Cher calls you up, said, "Hey, I'm going to brunch. Do you want to come with?" You say,
"Yes."
And now, okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Nobel. Not like 5 minutes later, Cher has just called you up. You have just said you're going to brunch with her. You get another phone call. David Blaine has called you. He also wants to go to lunch. Wait for it. The exact same time. What do you do, Matthew Bell?
Man, that's tough.
Who are you going
with? I've made the obligation to share.
I mean, you made the obligation to share.
But it's David Blaine. Magic's pretty cool.
It's David Blaine. I mean, how could you? I mean, so that's the thing. If Cher calls up and wants to go to brunch, you say yes. If anybody else offers the exact same time, you might say yes to the other person.
You might have to flip flop.
That's right. It's just the way it is. Welcome to Cher TV Talk. One of Pineapple says, little known fact, I listen to Flash TV Talk for the Cher Talk.
You know what? A lot of other people do, especially the two CW executives who are currently in the Mixler chat. Thank you for joining us as well.
All right. This one goes out to Wanna Pineapple. If I could
turn back time. The timeline.
If I could find Wale.
The Speed Force.
See, I was going for the rhyme.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All the plane of the alchemy. I don't know why. All right. We should probably do it back to the show.
Maybe. It's only been a half hour into this.
I know. This is a complete train wreck. I don't blame Cher. Look, I don't blame Cher because as it has been stated already several times on this podcast, we are not anti-Cher.
We are not.
We're not.
We are not.
I just want to listen to Cher.
If I could listen to Cher. If I could instead of recording this podcast,
yeah, it's about like that.
Option to entertain.
No. I was on Starkville Labs and Starkville House of L in their last episode, and I think Derek may have rubbed off.
Me.
Yeah. Yes, all I want to do absolutely. Is derail everything and just talk about Cher.
Well, it doesn't also
curse you, Derek
that,
Russell. Curse you.
It doesn't also help that the bar that I guess the park that I take my dog to is also a bar. And so I take my dog there Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Wednesday I leave directly from there and come here and record this podcast. So
you're letting everyone know. No, you're wasted. That's fine. You're wasted.
I may have some sauce in me when I get home.
All right.
I'm just be forewarned.
Yeah, this is a train wreck. It's going to be fine.
This is going to be a great season, everyone.
Look, here's what it's going to come down to.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to actually edit this thing. It's going to be crazy.
Like, that's crazy.
That's insane. Who has a name like that?
I mean,
it's not Cher.
Does.
But yeah, that's true.
No. What if Cher's last name is Kevorkian?
Stop it. Oh, my gosh. That's why she only...
Oh!
You know what she had to do? She had to turn back time. I don't know why I said the things I said. It's because your name's Kevorkian.
She doesn't know what she said because she was in a homicidal rage.
Oh my gosh.
She was just like euthanizing people left and right.
All right, seriously. I'm cutting all of this out of the show. This is completely wasted audio right now. Don't get me wrong. I'm the one causing it. I get it. But still.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that those of you listening right now in the Mixler channel are enjoying this because this is for you guys. This is for you guys.
That's right. Jude, I see that. List out some other fan nods in the show. We'll make reference. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I was listening to Game of Thrones.
I know. That's a beautiful rendition too.
It is. I mean, you know, my version's better.
Dum dum da dum dum da dum 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 bell 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 bell.
Have you heard bell 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 effing Game of Thrones, that one?
No, but we are live, so
yeah, that's why I didn't say the word.
Hey kids, here's Cher. Oh, look away, kids, look away.
Yeah.
All right.
Do not look directly into Cher.
That's terrible. We are not anti. We again not anti Cher here.
Not anti Cher. You can check out his stuff at insert Charlie's stuff here because it's not in the show notes again.
It's in the show notes. I know. I'm sorry, Charlie.
Come on, man.
I don't know that it's going to be Charlie this time.
Oh. Sorry, Charlie. You've been bumped by Cher.
Just got to the one where she's straddling the gun.
Oh, God. That's the best slash worst part of that.
But she is fully clothed, at least in that shot.
Yeah, that's true. Or she's wearing some semblance of clothes.
This is going to be a nightmare to edit.
Noise.
Do you think she watches The Flash?
Cher?
Yeah.
I mean, if William Shatner does.
Right. You know, we should get William Shatner. Don't
can we please try to get William Shatner on the show? Like, I think he's to the point now in his career where he just doesn't care. Like, if he had the time, I bet he'd do it. I bet he would. Okay.
It is a great song. It is.
Oh, wait, here comes the key change. Oh, no, I missed it. It's later.
That's all right.
Dude, that key change is where it's at. Like, that's the best key change in all of music.
Her kind of, like, bait and switch was, we're getting a pet. And I'm like, Joe doesn't know about the turtle. Y'all already got a pet.
Yeah. Well, when she said dogs are cats, like you know.
Psh, I'm just saying, man. Like, she implied pet. She said pet. I mean, I know she said dogs, cats. But, I mean, like. Like, nobody. Here's my question. Is the turtle going to end up becoming the new Gideon? Like, are we just, it's there, but we're never going to talk about it again?
You know, I think so, because honestly, I forgot about the turtle.
Does that mean that turtle's going to end up becoming a regular on Legends of Tomorrow?
Oh, that would be hilarious if the turtle shows up on Legends of Tomorrow. I would love that. I would love that.
Oh, my
gosh.
But
I think more likely what's going to happen is Barry and Irish are going to come home and be like, what's that smell? Oh, God, the turtle. And then HR is going
to
come over like a week later and be like, so, how's the turtle doing? Like, oh, he's great, HR. He's great. He's great. Where is he? Can I see him? No. He's asleep.
Oh, my gosh. That poor turtle. Somebody call animal services. Who's taking care of the turtle? This is what I'm saying, man. She's already forgotten. Okay, so we talked about the turtle dying. That was a big one.
This is what happens. This is how the turtle dies, right? Barry goes to Earth 2 Earth 19, maybe, to try to find a replacement turtle and bring it back so that Harrison doesn't notice that the turtle's dead. It's gotta be. He finds the doppelganger for the turtle on another Earth.
We need a new segment, Turtle Watch.
You have an executive in the chat. Let me write for your show.
Yes, yes. That
it would just fall off in the ratings, but it would be great.
Oh, my gosh. That
would be so great.
Turtle of Earth.
Turtle like, doppelgangers.
That's there's an infinite number of turtles out there. It just calls up Cisco to get another one.
It's like Barry comes into work. He's not speeding into work. He's just walking in normally. He looks all downtrodden. Cisco's like, hey, man, what's up? You need a new turtle, don't you? Barry's like, yeah.
And the Barry Allen of that other Earth is like, where does the turtle keep going?
Like Barry from Earth 2 comes up. He's like, dude, stop stealing my turtles. Like, ours died. I know, mine did too. This one's from Earth 34. Which Earth have you gone to? All right, I've gone to Earth 147, 219, 3, 14, and 28. Okay, don't go to those Earths.
He's got a spreadsheet with turtles.
Oh, man. You know how they love plotting stuff out on those whiteboards at Star Labs? Right. I just see both Barry's just like plotting it.
They got a whiteboard for the turtle. Okay, we got
buffs. All right, we got to bring it back.
And scene.
I don't know if that was funny for anybody listening, but I'm freaking in tears right now.
Oh my gosh, me too. Captain Dooley, Captain Dooley in the chat. Perfect response. Hashtag crisis of infinite turtles.
It's a tie-in webcomic on the CW scene.
Instead of the Legion of Doom, it'll be like the Legion of Turtles. And they all band together because they're tired of being kidnapped from their respective Earths. And so it's just this infinite horde of the turtles.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
Oh, oh man.
That's what they're doing.
The CW executive left. I bet he's running to the writer's room right now. He's like, guys.
Hold the presses. I got it. And he tells him, like, this, that's, you know, they look at what they had down for Legends of Tomorrow season 4. They're like, this is way better. Let's go with Infinite Turtles. Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Where were we?
I have no idea.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Turtle TV talk.
Harry Carey here.
They should name they should name the turtle?
What?
Cher. If I could turtle time.
If I could turtle.
No. We're not gonna sing that song. We did that. No. Dead horse. Bell. Dead horse. All right. Ready for this?
Ready to turn back time.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to shout at you.
Would you go back?
I would take back all those things that I said. Another reason to check out the Patreon account, people. Be sure to look at all of the different tiers. Every single one of those tiers. Be sure to read those.
Turtle TV Talk.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.